Welcome and breathe in air. Abstract Illusions Radio, the show that explores and exposes the many aspects of expression, with your host, Jennifer Hellman.
On a Sunday morning when I was supposed to be at church, I told my mother that I was at church when in actual fact I was in the dojo training and not going to church. So eventually my mother found out and I suffered for that myself, you know.
But don't you think that was just a different kind of church than what she was expecting?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I was brought up a Roman Catholic, Jenny, you know,
yes.
And when I was younger it was very much you're living by a doctrine, as most religions are a doctrine. But, you know, I think we're very lucky, especially with being a psychic medium. You're lucky to live in two worlds, as it were, you know, because we have awareness and spiritual sight of the spiritual world, and also we have the values and the understanding of the material world. And I think what you have to realize is that the only religion is the only religion is the religion of love. There is no other religion, and religion really is not a word that I tend to use, because we are all spirit in human form, and we're all part of this, the divine universe, and whatever people want to call it, God, the universe, or anything else, we're all part of the one thing. And we're here learning to understand that we are very powerful spiritual individuals that can do anything, have anything, and develop spiritually in a life path here in this school that we call Earth.
Yes. So, what prompts you to write such... I mean, let's go back and tell the audience exactly what the power of the sixth sense is about. I mean, it could be a lot, but...
Yeah, it's about a lot of things, and if I had to sum it up in one particular statement, I would say that the powers of the sixth sense, How to Remain Safe in a Hostile World, is not just a book. It's a gift from the spirit world for humanity. It is a present, if you like. And all I am is an empty vessel, a channel that has a little bit of information that's managed to put the jigsaw puzzle together for other people to understand. And what the book is, if you've read it yourself, you know, I'm sure you know it's a very, very empowering book.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows you, you know, we switch on the television and we maybe sit and watch CNN News or CBN, and you see terrible tragedy after terrible tragedy. You see, you know, kids that are gone missing. We see murders that are happening on the streets. We see the effects of drugs, of ice, of crack cocaine. We see the effects of terrorism. And although we want to believe that the world is a beautiful place, and infinitely it's a beautiful place if we see beyond the problems, but many of the problems that we've created in the world have been created by man himself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we've created those problems, we also have the ability to get rid of them. And we have the ability to reduce the risk of experiencing them. And I've done it myself, you know. I mean, my sixth sense has saved my life on numerous occasions. And if it hadn't, and I hadn't listened to the universe, and I hadn't listened to my intuition, I'd be dead. I wouldn't be here now. And, you know, it's interesting because I received an email yesterday from a soldier who'd just come back from Afghanistan in America. I'm not sure which division he was, but he wrote to me and he said, you know, I've read the book. I thought it was absolutely amazing, and here's my own story. When I was in Afghanistan, I had a terrible feeling of dread of something that was going to happen. And what I did is I changed the orders of the platoon. I didn't actually go and do what we were supposed to do at that particular precise time. And he not only saved his own life, but he saved the life of his friends, his compatriots, his soldiers in arms, because he listened to his intuition. Now that tells us if we can do that on that level for our women and our men in the field, we can also do it at home. You know, we can protect ourselves from many things, from rape, from attack, from abuse. And just to realize that we are spiritual beings and that we have this ability to empower our lives so much that we can achieve almost anything that we really desire.
Yes, we can. Now, do you want to give some, tell one of your many stories, because the book is filled with many adventures that you've been a part of.
Yeah, there is a few stories there, yeah.
Yes, and they're all amazing, and they're really good illustrations of what you're talking about, listening to your gut feelings and saying, okay, something's off here. I like the story how your car broke down and then it ran out of gas. I mean, you had a lot of trouble and it ended up being the best thing that ever happened.
Exactly. And I think, you know, with anybody who's read the book or anybody who's going to read the book, and I hope many people go out there and buy it, because they can keep it for, it's not the type of book where you just read it and don't go back to it. You can actually go back to this book and you can learn a lot from it time and time and time again. And if I just use that example that you're talking about, I was involved in an operation in the UK that was gaining intelligence on international criminals. And I was supposed to meet, which we call in our line of work, a target. I was supposed to meet someone that was passing information to someone that we were handling at the time. And the impetus of the universe was building up signs around me. And most people don't see these things. You know, why does a car break down? Why is this happening? You know, just because you're stuck in a traffic jam could be the best thing that's ever happened to you, because if you weren't stuck in that traffic jam, you could kill yourself. And in fact, let me tell you a very simple example of recently intuition saving our lives. My wife and I were actually traveling through to Aberdeenshire to do some work through there. And my wife she's a wonderful person, but she has to have her coffee in the morning like most people, you know. Can't survive without her coffee. And I'm a typical ex-soldier, you know. I get up early and I want to get out. And she calls me the Chevy Chase of the UK, because I'm traveling here and going and exploring and journeys and exciting things that we do. But on this day, we were actually traveling down to Aberdeenshire, and she says to me, "Hey, Joe, I really need to have a cup of coffee. I need to get something, because I've not had a coffee this morning." I said, "Okay, darling, no problem. We'll do that." And we found a place, and we went in. And if anybody that knows my wife, she won't have any type of, just any kind of coffee. It's got to be freshly brewed coffee. It's got to be perfect, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when we went in, the place wasn't very nice. It didn't have a good atmosphere. The atmosphere wasn't really nice. So we thought, no, don't really like it here. We're going to move on. When we got back into our truck, into our Jeep, the car was brand new. It was only a month old. We couldn't start the vehicle for some reason. It wouldn't start. And I remember looking at my wife looking at me and thinking, there's something wrong here. There is a reason why this is not happening. And we just sat for a while. It was only a case of less than a minute, 40 seconds, and we thought, right, we are being warned. And we waited for about a minute and a half, and eventually we put the key in the ignition and we started the car again. And the car started, no problem. As we were driving down the road and wondering what was happening, Joanne turned to me and said, "You know, there's a reason for this, and I think, you know, our angels have saved us once more, because we don't understand why, but the car wouldn't start for this reason." And as we said that, there was a complete imbecile who was driving on a lane heading towards us, overtaking a large amount of traffic that had no room to get in. Now, I've done a lot of evasive driving and anti-terrorist driving and learned that in the past, and I had to actually take some evasive maneuvers to get out of the way of this vehicle. Now, the thing is, if we had come along that road a minute earlier, we would have been dead. We would have had a massive impact. So we understood that the impetus and the signs around us were there was a reason for it. And again, you call it your guardian angels, the universe had saved us. They had given us the warning, and we took heed of it. And a lot of people and a lot of skeptics will say, well, that's a sheer coincidence, Jock, you know, but I don't believe in coincidence. I don't believe in it.
And there are no coincidences.
You know, to that day, we have never had a problem with the car, ever. And if we had been a minute earlier, we would have been dead, for sure.
Well, that brings up a point I wanted to ask you. Do you think there's certain things that are meant to happen that no matter, you know something's going to happen, but you're not sure what, so you change routes because you feel like you're going to, and you're going, and then all of a sudden something really bad happens?
Yes.
Now, I mean, that happened to me, and it was a very weird situation where I was traveling with a couple friends. All of a sudden, I got a really bad feeling about the route we were going to go, and I said, well, maybe we should change, and then we all agreed, yes, we're supposed to change. So we decided to go. Actually, it was coming down towards California on the 5, but we were in Oregon.
Right. Yeah.
And all of a sudden, we were in this very remote part of Oregon, and we ended up being in a head-on collision. We later found out this man had changed routes mid-driving about the same time we did.
Right.
So it was almost like we were destined to hit one way or another.
Yeah, and to be honest, a lot of people will say, well, you know, you felt bad, you felt there was an impetus around you again, and you change your direction hoping to avert the problem. But
right.
What you've got to ask yourself is this, Jenny. Was there a bigger problem facing you? If you hadn't have taken that action, could you actually not be here today? Would you have perhaps had another head-on collision and not come out of it alive?
If we had gone the other route, we would have been closer to the ocean. We were going to be on Highway 1, and there would have been a very good chance we would not have survived.
Well, there you go. So then that answers
so,
it.
So, yes, it definitely was a reason why we went inward. And,
exactly.
And we all walked away from the accident, which was really amazing because it was a pretty horrific head-on collision. But I felt literally a pillow of energy right in front of me right before the accident. So I knew I was protected.
Definitely.
It was an amazing feeling.
Definitely, and I think that, I mean, there is certain things that happen for a reason, and one of these things is because we need to learn life lessons from it. Now, perhaps you agreed to learn a life lesson before you came to this earth plane, and one of those life lessons was to learn a little bit of suffering and what it was to experience that. There's things that we can't stop. For instance, I had a precognitive dream about a helicopter crash that happened, and actually it was very vivid. And I also had a vision of it happening when I was awake.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 days later, a very well-known rally car driver from the town that I was born in crashed a helicopter and 4 people were killed instantly.
Wow.
And that was something that I knew was going to happen, but you can't avert that fate.
Right.
Many people before 9/11 had dreams, visions of this disaster that was going to happen, but let's face it, if you phone up the government or the FBI or the CIA and say, hey, by the way, this is going to happen, they'll
right.
just laugh at you. You
oh,
know?
Definitely.
They're not going to take it seriously, are they? So there's many things that happen for a reason. Like another friend of mine and author, Dr. William Bloom, who's well renowned throughout the world, he had a holiday booked in Asia where the tsunami hit.
Mm-hmm.
But a week before the tsunami was due to hit, he had this tremendous ill-gotten feeling in his gut. His intuition was warning him. You know, he was starting to pick up signs around him that weren't good. And he said to his wife, I think we should cancel the holiday. Now, that meant them losing about $2,000 in a deposit. But they cancelled the holiday, and then, of course, the tsunami hit. So there's lots of information around us on a daily basis. And it can be as simple as driving down the highway on I-5, seeing a truck with perhaps a sign on it that's an advertisement that says, don't do something, don't smoke. Maybe that will be another sign of another sign of another sign that's been building up around you. There was a story of a gentleman in New York on the day in question of the terrible disaster of 9/11, which is also one of the reasons why I wrote the book. And he's very meticulous, and he never loses his keys. He never does anything wrong or misplaces anything. But on that day, he could not find his keys anywhere. Now, for a man who's never done that in his life, there had to be a reason for it. My belief is, when we were talking to this gentleman, was that spirit, people, loved ones from the other side, deliberately misplaced his keys by changing where they were. You know, they could have been on the table and they would have hid them, you know, which is called an apport. And anybody who studies paranormal activity will know what an apport is. And that would have been a way of loved ones coming through from spirit world and trying to avert and stop a disaster. And it happens all the time, you know. We just need to see beyond our noses, Jenny, you know.
What do you think is the one way, the most powerful way of somebody really opening up just to see it, just to really understand and really connect with those feelings? There's so many ways of doing it. What do you think is the
I think the key to getting it started is to meditate. But, you know, when you say that word, Jenny, when you say meditate, it scares a lot of people, because they immediately conjure up this vision of someone sitting in an enchanted room with their legs folded behind their head, or behind their leg, you know, humming to themselves some kind of mantra with incense burning. And that puts a lot of people off, especially people that are moving from a five-sensory world and trying to develop the sixth sense. Well, I think that the biggest way to do this is to understand that meditation can be done on a daily basis without doing all that stuff. I mean, I've gone jogging around the woods and meditated as I jogged, which is a very easy way of meditating. I've had some quiet time when I've had a bath or a shower. Even when you're just, for instance, one of the things I teach my students to do is I get them to write a letter to the guardian angel, or I get them to write a letter about what something means to them. You know, I say to them, what does nature mean to you? There's a picture of a tree. What does that mean to you? And they start to write all sorts of things, but what they don't understand is that in that quiet time when they're thinking, on that quiet time when they're contemplating on perhaps that image or that question that I've given them, they are actually learning to meditate, because they are in that silence. They are in that natural, shall we say, vehicle for developing the sixth sense, and they just don't realize it. And of course, a lot of people can have a lot of fun developing the sixth sense, Jenny, you know. My wife and I have tremendous fun with it. You know, one of us will go to the store and you'll send a telepathic message and see if see if they bring back what it is that you're sending, that you're looking for.
Yeah.
Or we'll play a tuning in game, you know. We'll take a notebook, we'll sit, we'll have a little bit of a meditation, and you'll tune in the next 5 days and see what comes true. Eventually, these little techniques that you use build up into something quite fortuitous, build up into something that really is almost like a weapon against terrorism, a weapon against all the negativity in the world. And also it keeps you connected with the divine, and it allows you to experience life on the other side as well, you know. And I think it's an easy thing for people to see that it's real, you know. And I've often done this with skeptics, you know, where I've shown them how to even do psychometry, how to pick up information from people and it can be anything. And when I teach my martial arts, when I teach my my students to come and learn ninjutsu, I teach them to pick up little subtle nuances of energy, you know, to be blindfolded and to pick up the energy around them. And the sixth sense surrounds us every day, Jenny. We just don't see it.
Oh, definitely. So how many classes do you teach?
Oh, quite a few. I teach three times a week. I have personal students that I teach. I don't have big classes. I never do that. Because I like to give my all over. I like to help people. This is the reason why I keep my classes small. But I also do a lot of, companies hire me to come in and do lectures and teach their staff. And I work for a Texas oil company, coming over and teaching their staff all about the sixth sense and all about personal self-defense and utilizing their natural intuitive ability. And the people love it, you know. And I give them an exam, you know. I work them hard as well, and I take them out into dark areas at night, and I set a few things up, and I get them to tune in and see if they can pick it up. And if they don't pick it up, then, you know, little things happen that frighten the life out of them. So they have a lot of fun with it.
That's great. So you do spiritual classes just on teaching people to trust their intuition, and then you also do martial art, correct?
Yeah. Yes. And then if they're interested, I blend the two. And I travel the world doing it, you know, and I'm actually coming over to the States. In fact, my wife and I are going to be emigrating and coming over to the States and living over there. So we're going to be doing it on a bigger scale in America.
Wonderful. Do you know what area you're going to be moving to, or do you know yet?
We are planning to live in Long Island,
mm-hmm.
in New York. We are coming to Los Angeles and other parts of California to do demonstrations of mediumship, evenings of mediumship, and workshops. We are due to go to Kansas to do a three-day workshop event and three evenings of mediumship there. We are going to Canada to do some events there. So we're kind of traveling around.
So
we'll be basing ourselves and living in New York, or Pennsylvania, kind of area, you know, near New York.
Wow, you're just going to be all over the place. So all the information on all these upcoming workshops, are they available on your website?
Well,
they
will
website.
Be.
There's tons of information on your website. It's beautiful.
Yeah, well, it's nowhere near finished yet. It's nowhere near done, and we're constantly adding to it when we get some time. But as you know, Jenny, recently I've not been sleeping a lot and doing a lot of radio.
No.
And you know,
sleep who needs
that? It's been great fun. You know, it's been brilliant talking to the listeners and having people call in, and it's been great connecting with people. You know, but I think over the last few nights I managed to get my 8-hour differences mixed up, and instead of adding and subtracting the hours, I found myself waiting to do shows at like 3 and 4 in the morning and finding out that I was on the wrong day and even on the wrong week. So I've got myself confused recently, so I've been a bit of a zombified lately.
Yes, I think at least 12 hours to 24 hours of sleep would do you wonders. So,
oh, yeah.
Right now I want to tell the callers you can call in. The number, if you are in the U.S., is 877-876-5227. And if you're in Canada, it is 888-815-9756. If you have any general questions you want to ask Jock, please call. He has loads of information. So going back to when things are getting started, the one thing that I find a lot of people when it comes to meditation is they say, how can I shut up my head? The mind is so noisy with
yeah.
so much clatter and just...
Well, do you know something? I want to say to the listeners out there, I want to say to them, you can. And anyone that tells you that you can is either deluded or is coming from a place of ego. There is not one person there out in this world that can manage to clean their whole mind.
Right.
It's just impossible. But what we can do is we can recognize when our minds are busy, and we can almost kind of just see those thoughts that are manifesting in your mind and just say, yeah, okay, I notice you. You are there. But I don't need you at the moment. I want to concentrate on something else. And they can go back in and start concentrating on their meditation.
Yeah.
It's impossible to clear your mind and to cancel it out. But if you keep doing it, let's say you meditate twice a week for half an hour, or even just half an hour, you know, once a week, eventually it will become easier and easier and easier to go into that meditation space. It becomes very enjoyable, and then you find out that meditation is almost like a drug. It's like you need it because it keeps you calm. You know, you don't suffer from stress or all these side factors of material life. But you have to realize that it's not easy to keep this mind chatter down, and it just takes a little bit of training. A little bit of recognizing the thoughts that are coming into your mind and just releasing them. You know, if something comes into your mind, don't worry about it, because it happened. And the reason people come out of the meditation early and don't get a lot out of it is because they start to say, oh, my mind was too busy and I saw this and I had to pick up little Johnny from school, and my mother-in-law's coming over and it's a nightmare, she's cooking dinner. And well, that doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. Because you've saw those thoughts, I will guarantee that if you've recognized those thoughts when you're meditating, I'm damn sure that there would be other thoughts coming in that are of a more subconscious nature, of a spiritual nature, and it's just sifting through them.
Right. We have a caller now. Hello, caller. Thank you for waiting.
Hello.
Hi. And what is your name?
My name's Jacqueline.
Hi, Jacqueline.
Hello, Jacqueline.
And what's your question?
Well, I have a 17-year-old son that is intuitive. He's actually an indigo child, young man at this point. And he's in the process of figuring things out. He's empathic. He's guided by Michael. And I was on another call with some intuitive friends this evening, and he said, does anyone have a message for me? And one of the people on the call was actually listening to you, and your theme this evening was similar to what we were talking about in one respect of being protective and aware. And I can't remember exactly what she quoted, what you had been sharing, and all of a sudden she goes, he has the message for your son, so call into the show and ask. So I am.
What's your son's name? You got to understand, it's 5 o'clock. Chuck is very, very tired, so we'll see what happens. What is your son's name?
Jeremy.
Jeremy.
Okay. And is your son is quite an active person. He's very creative, yeah?
Yes.
Right, okay. Then he has got to accept his abilities and not fight against them or question them. But also in the same vein, what I want to say is not to push him too hard with it. People must develop at their own pace. And I believe you're very protective over your son, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. Your son will also be protective over himself. He's a very intelligent young man. Do you understand that? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Right? Do you understand this? Your son will be an intelligent being. Doesn't necessarily mean that that the person, that your son has to be intelligent with maths or at school or anything that he's doing, but people that are creative have the ability to do wondrous things in the world. And, but what you must try not to do, is it Jacqueline?
Yes.
Is to mollycoddle your son, because your son will grow and he'll bring and anchor a lot of light into the world and he'll help a lot of people. But also, does he get bullied? Does he get kind of laughed at a little bit? Does he get laughed at a little bit? Does friends around him...
Yes, because he has very high goals and... Yes.
Okay, but see, this is the thing, is that when people around him are laughing at him, and I will guarantee that your son will feel that, and sometimes he'll feel a bit down about it, and a bit probably not so much depressed, but, you know, a bit, well, because it's getting on top of me kind of thing. And what he needs to do is to flip switch, and it doesn't matter what people think.
Okay.
Because at the end of the day, what he has got to realize is that he knows the truth. And the people that don't understand him are just so far behind in their own spiritual development that they're going to have to catch up with your son. It's not your son having to catch up with them. Do you understand that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he needs to move in that vein, and he needs to not worry about what other people think. And what I'm picking up from him is that he is a bit of a worrier. He don't want to upset people, and he don't like being scoffed at, if you like any of us.
Yes.
Do you understand that?
Yes, that's very accurate.
He needs to believe in himself. Do you know, one of the things I tell my students, Jacqueline, if you believe in yourself, you will achieve wondrous things. And I had a problem for many years of believing in myself and trying to make everyone like me and be happy with what I'd done. And your son's a little bit like that. He's a little bit like me when I was younger. But what he's got to, you know, my wife taught me how to believe in myself. And by believing in yourself, you're believing in the divine, you're believing in the power of the spirit, you're believing in the power that you can enhance. And if he believes in himself, he will achieve many different things. Tell me, does he write his thoughts down?
Does he what? I'm sorry?
Does he write his thoughts down?
No, actually he doesn't.
Then he needs to, like, keep a journal of his feelings.
Okay.
And he will start to see patterns, okay?
Uh-huh.
So if he needs to keep a journal of all his intuitive feelings and anything that he goes through that perhaps people surrounding him that are making him feel. Because people that are very sensitive don't have an easy life. Do you understand that?
Yes.
And he won't have an easy life. And do you know why? It's because he is he's using his sixth sense a lot, and his vibration will be higher than many other people, so he won't like the negative vibrations of this earth or anything, the materialism that surrounds him. Do you understand that?
Yes.
He'll be happier being with like-minded people. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he needs to move forward like that, and he needs to keep a journal, and he needs to identify and work with his intuition, but he has to live a normal life as well. Okay.
Yes.
He likes to listen to music. Yeah.
Yes.
A lot. He's heavily into music, and he can express himself through that as well. And he can meditate through music, and he can learn to develop a little bit stronger. And he needs to be happier in himself.
Yes.
Does that help you?
It's perfect. Thank you so much.
No
and
problem,
I would like
Jacqueline.
To suggest that you do get your son Chuck's book, because there is a lot of information that will help your son.
What was the name of the book again?
Power of the Sixth Sense.
It's called Powers of the Sixth Sense, How to Remain Safe in a Hostile World. And your son will get a lot out of it. He will learn so much from it, and it will help him to develop even stronger, and it will help him to help himself in this life. And you can go onto Amazon.com and buy it from Amazon, or any of the shops, any of the bookshops. You can go in and ask for it, and you can just ask for my name, Jock Crawford.
I will have it within. I will have it.
As soon as possible.
You can go onto my site as well, Jacqueline. You can buy it. You can get a link from my site straight onto Amazon. You can email me, and I'll send you through the details.
Okay.
And why don't you give your website real quick?
Okay, my website is www.jockbrocas.com. That's JOCKBROCAS.com.
Okay.
And the book is Powers of the Sixth Sense.
Okay. Thank you so much.
No problem, Jacqueline. I hope everything goes well for you and your son.
It will. I'm very, very sure of that. I want to share with him what you said because he's getting ready to call it a night. So I'm gonna go. You be well.
Andrew, God bless.
Bye.
Children really are the ones that we are trying to help quite a bit. I mean, right now there's so many people who are waking up saying, there's something else to this, isn't there? I mean, and
definitely.
I'm just seeing a lot of kids and a lot of parents, which is such a blessing, recognizing their kids are a little different and trying to help them instead of holding them down.
Well, this is true. I mean, my wife and I've got a nephew. My nephew's name is Liam Pugsley. And Liam is a fantastic, he's like any other kid. He loves football, he loves computer games and consoles. But in contrast, Jenny, he loves his auntie and his uncle. He calls me the psychic ninja and his auntie's the psychic auntie. And the thing is when we take him out for day trips, we teach him that he is psychic and that he can also talk to spirit. And that young man, he's so sensitive, but at the same time too, he's still a young boy. Now, a couple of days ago, my wife's grandfather passed on, and today actually we're travelling down to Wales to go to pay our last respects, and I'm going to talk at the funeral. But the thing is that my young nephew, who's 10 years old, Liam. Because we have kept him aware that spirit is around us and aware of his psychic abilities, he doesn't fear death. At 10 years old, he doesn't fear death. He understands that grandfather has left and is still alive, but he's just moved on to a higher plane. He understands that at 10 years old. Now, if we can get our young people to understand these sorts of concepts, and that they can use their psychic ability, the world's going to be a much safer and a much nicer place to be. And we teach him to visualize, and he meditates with us. And when he goes to play a game of soccer or football, he meditates, he takes his time, and he visualizes scoring tries and goals, and he does it.
Excellent. Well, we have another caller for you. Hello, caller.
Hi, Jennifer. It's Chris.
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
I emailed you a picture of Jeremy to email it to Jock. And
okay.
He had it right on. When Jeremy plays football, he does visualize.
Great.
So I'll transport that over to Jacqueline. I have a question about my husband. And he has been working pretty much part-time since November. So should he find a new job?
Well, first thing you've got to ask yourself, sorry, what's your name?
His name or my name?
Her name is Chris.
Yes.
Okay. Chris, the first thing you've got to ask yourself is, nobody can turn in and say, should your husband find a new job? What should he do? He has got to look into his heart. Now, the best thing in this world to do is to do a job that you really are happy with, you know, that that pays you the finances that you need to live in the world, and what do you really want to do? And this is what I say to everyone that asks me that question, is look inside themselves. What do they really want to do with their life? What do they want to achieve? If they are working in a sawmill, if they're working with cars or anything, and they have a they decide that they want to do something else or work with computers, then go ahead and do it. Don't fear change.
Okay.
Because if we fear change, nothing will change for us. And we need to be like the proverbial chameleon and adapt to our surroundings, you know. And if your husband is happy in his job and loves it,
yeah, he loves his job,
then he's going to go far. He needs to see how far does he want to go with it.
So it's just sort of like a, I'm not sure if it's the economy, but this is the longest we've gone where he's worked intermittently. We normally do have a season where we go about a month.
He works for himself, yeah?
But this has gone on for 4 months.
He works for himself?
He actually is a truck driver, and he delivers sod to golf courses and neighborhoods and stores and stuff in Arizona.
And he loves that job, doesn't he?
He loves his job, yeah.
Well, what he needs to do, he wants to gain in more work, doesn't he?
He
wants
does.
Right. Well, what he's got to do is he's got to believe that work's coming and not go looking, not see.
Okay. Same thing with what you shared on Jeremy.
Yes.
Visualize
it. Believe. He needs to visualize it coming, like get up in the morning or even before he goes to bed at night and see him visualizing himself delivering and going to lots of different businesses.
Right,
and
multi-load. That's what we're
feeling
we're,
happy
mm-hmm.
doing it, feeling happy about himself, about doing these things and attracting. It's a very simple spiritual law that's thousands, this is eons old, and it's the spiritual law of attraction. And we attract what we want, that we desire, that matches our vibration. And if he starts to visualize these things happening, I guarantee that they will happen. And you know what I did when I was younger, before I met my wife? I had a terrible time, and if you read my book, you'll find that I'd gone through so many bad times. But I took a little notebook one day, Chris, and I wrote 10 things that I wanted out of life that I never thought I would achieve. And today, I have achieved 9 of those things. And I'm still on that route of achieving the 10th. And what I wanted was I wanted someone to love. I wanted to find love. Because in my heart, I truly had never found love. I wanted someone that would understand the things that I had gone through. And I wanted to be more abundant. But I had to flip switch my conscious thinking to believe that it was coming. And a year and a half later, I found that same notebook, and I was in a relationship and ready to get married. I found it the week before I got married, and everything that I had written down was coming to fruition.
That's wonderful.
And he can write, you know, he can, does he, you know, if he's, you see, the thing is as well, is your husband's a bit of a man's man, and I'm picking up that he's a bit of a man's man, and
yeah,
he probably won't be as sensitive as he won't show his feelings as much as men should, shall we say. But if he can accept and embrace his sensitive side, he can write a letter to his guardian angel. He can, you can do a letter with him about the things that he wants, and then just do the letter, and it's the intention that's behind it, Chris, and then get rid of it and watch your life change. I guarantee you. And drop me a line and let me know that everything's changing for the better for
me. I absolutely will do that. I did subscribe on your website, too. I'm opted in.
Excellent. Okay, well, keep in touch.
Thank you. God bless. I love you, Jen.
Love you.
All right. Take care.
Well, Chuck, it's time for us to say thank you very much for being on the show. It's wonderful to have you and to get to know you a little better. And I wish you very well on getting the rest of the things that you need to get done on your list. I have a feeling you'll probably get more on your list because that's the way we tend to do is add. Once we finish it, we got to add to it. But I wish you all the best. And again,
thank you very much, Jamie.
It's been
an absolute pleasure.
Thank you. And let me know if you're in L.A. or something. I'd love to come meet you in person. I'm not that
far
away.
Definitely.
Jack's book is The Power of the Sixth Sense. And his website is
jackbrookus.com.
Jackbrookus.com,
yeah.
It's jockbrookus.com. And if you want any more information, and there is lots of information, and like I said, it's still being built, and it's wonderful. There's a lot of wonderful information on there. Tell people to go see it. So I want to thank you again. I want to thank the audience for listening tonight. I appreciate you very much. Next week we have Jennifer Hoffman, who channels the Archangel Uriel. She's going to be talking about the emotional DNA. And until then, with each breath of air, we hope you gained new insights and inspirations. We wish you a good night and many blessings. Thank you.